الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, I want to remind you and myself that we came to give, not to take. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't create us without any purpose. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defined the reason why He sent us as Muslims, and He said, كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله. In Surah Al-Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you Muslims are the best of people ever raised up for the benefit of mankind. You enjoin al-ma'ruf, which is all that is good and halal, and you forbid al-munkar, which is all evil, and obviously that is haram. And you believe in Allah. We were raised and chosen for the benefit of the human race. But ask yourself how the Muslims in general are benefiting humanity. I don't doubt that there are excellent examples of individual Muslims doing good and being beneficial, but the rulings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do not come on the actions of individuals. The people of Musa alayhi salam were banned from entering Jerusalem for 40 years, even though the Nabi himself was with them. And certainly there were among them good people who were obedient to Allah and who were obedient to the Nabi. However, the majority of the Bani Israel were disobedient and rebellious, and so the punishment came on everyone. And even Musa alayhi salam didn't get to see Jerusalem. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam in the hadith related to Al-Isra al-Mi'raj, he said that I passed the grave of Musa alayhi salam below the walls of Jerusalem, and he was praying, he was doing salah in his grave. And he said that Musa alayhi salam, when Malakul Maut came to take his soul, he made a request and he said, don't take my soul here. Take me to the wall of Jerusalem and take my soul there. I could not see the city in my life. At least I want to die close to it. My brothers and sisters, my question to myself and you is, how are we being beneficial to humanity? Seriously, ask yourself this question. Ask yourself another question. If you wake up tomorrow and there is no sign of iPhones or Androids, and depending on whether you like fruits or you like phones which suddenly go dead on you to remind you of your own mortality, will you miss your phone? Will you feel as if you lost a limb? Will you feel distraught and sad and desolate and lost and confused and perplexed and regretful and angry all at the same time? And ask yourself why. Then ask yourself a third question. If the world wakes up tomorrow morning and there are no Muslims, if the world wakes up tomorrow morning and there are no Muslims, no Muslims, no signs of Islam, no masajid, no nothing, it's as if Muslims never walked the earth, what would the rest of the world say? Would they say, where have they gone? I wish they were here, bring them back, they were so lovely people. Or will they say, thank God they are gone? Which one? And if you don't know the answer, when you go out from here, go and meet your non-Muslim friends and you ask them yourself. And of course, some of them will say, no, I will miss you. Tell him it's not about me. It's not about me. It's about Muslims in general. What will you feel if you wake up tomorrow morning and you find that they are all gone? The reason we miss our phones is because they are beneficial to us. And the reason the world will rejoice at the disappearance of Muslims as things stand today is because we have become toxic for the world. We either do evil or we do nothing. We spend on all the wrong things. We don't participate in anything good. The litany is endless. Just to give you some figures and to satisfy my own addiction to statistics, see the figures for charity globally. The top is a charity started and operated by ordinary businessmen. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, $42.3 billion. Warren Buffett, who is an equal shareholder in it, is not even mentioned by name as per his own wish. How do you like that for ikhlas? But that's not my point. My point is that in the 2013-2014 list of top 20 charity donors globally, there is not one single Muslim name. And in the text you will find the link and so on. You can go look it up yourself. And I'm quite sure, but I'm absolutely sure, that if I did a search of the top 20 spenders on gimmicks and garbage, I would be hard put to find a non-Muslim name on it. All the colored rocks, gold-plated toilets, diamond-studded garbage transporters, palaces on wheels and palaces in the air. The latest is a $13 million Christmas tree in the father of Dhabi. All belong to Muslims. And in case you feel good about the fact that all those spenders are not Hyderabadi, allow me to draw your attention to what you do in your famous or infamous weddings. That hurts, right? A very simple share, coupled by Hakim Akhtar Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh, says it all. He said, "Jo karte ho tum chupa ke ahle jahan se, jo karte ho tum chupa ke ahle jahan se, koi dekhta hai tumhe aasma se." And that is the essence of taqwa. That is the essence of taqwa. Quite simply, my brothers and sisters, the world loves givers and hates takers. So what do we have to give? What does Islam offer to the world today? Islam is not the name of a theory or a theology or a philosophy. Islam is the name of a practice, of something that works and produces measurable results for those who use it, but only for those who use it and when they use it. Islam gives two essential things to the world, both of which are critically absent today and which the world is crying out for. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about these in the famous ayah that you hear in every Jummah khutbah and on which I have already done a series of 4 to 5 lectures. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Inna Allaha ya'muru bil adli wal ihsan wa ita'i dhil qurba wa yanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkari wal baghi ya'idhukum la'allakum tadhakkarun." Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enjoins al-adl, justice, and al-ihsan, perfection, which is more than justice. Helping kith and kin, helping family, and forbids all fahsha, all shameful actions, and wal munkar, all disobedient actions and all sins. And He forbids al-baghi, which is oppression. And He admonishes you and warns you that you may take heed. We hear this ayah in every single Jummah khutbah anywhere in the world. The ayah mentions 5 things: justice, ihsan, which is also mercy, helping your family, forbidding all sins and oppression. But out of these 5, the first 2 are the key, out of which the other 3 are derived. So the gift of Islam to the world is justice and mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us categorically about these 2. He said about justice, Jalla Jalaluhu, "Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, koonu qawwameena bil qist shuhada lillahi walau ala anfusikum abil walidaini wal aqrabin in yakun ghaniyan aw faqiran fallahu awla bihima fala tattabi'ul hawa an ta'dilu wa in talwu aw tu'ridu fa inna allaha kana bima ta'maluna khabira." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the famous ayah of Surah An-Nisa, "O you who believe, stand out firmly for justice as witnesses to Allah, even though it is against yourselves, or against your parents, or against your own kin, be he rich or poor. Allah is a better protector of both than you. So do not follow the lust of your heart, so that you may not be unjust. And if you distort your witness or refuse to give it, verily Allah is ever well acquainted with what you do." Stand out for justice even if it is against yourself. Now what can be stronger than that? So let us see what those who understood this did. A famous story is the story of, at the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, during his khilafah, there was a Coptic Christian in Egypt, in Alexandria, wallahu alam, who got into an argument with the son of Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu. Now, Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu was the governor of Egypt. He was the conqueror of Egypt. He was the commander-in-chief of the army there. And his son got into an argument with this Coptic Christian and he whipped him. So this man went to Medina and he complained to Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu summoned Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu and his son. And in his full court, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu gave a whip to the Coptic Christian and he said, beat him. Beat him until you are satisfied. So this man, this Christian, in Medina, in the court of Umar ibn al-Khattab, in the presence of Amr ibn al-As, beat his son with a whip until he was satisfied. Then Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu called Amr ibn al-As and he said, take off your turban. And Amr ibn al-As took off his turban. And Sayyidina Umar said to the Coptic Christian, beat Amr on the top of his bald head for bringing up a son like this, who beat you because of his father's authority. Eh? The man said no. He said, I have whipped the one who whipped me, and I do not want to whip anybody else. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu then turned to Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, and he said to him his famous words. He said, oh Amr, since when do you treat as slaves those who were born as free men? He said, since when do you treat as slaves those who were born as free men? And this is talking about a Christian. In the Muslim Khilafa Rashida. Another story. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu was stabbed. He was leading Salatul Fajr. And this man who was not a Muslim, called Abu Lu'lua, he had a dagger which he had impregnated with poison, and he stabbed Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab and ripped open his belly, and he stabbed another 13 people in Salah before he was killed. Now Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu is lying on his deathbed. They say that when they would try to give him water, the water would come out of the wound in his belly. So he was dying. Now think about this. When you are dying, if you are going to say something, what do you say? You say the thing which is most important for you. You want to leave behind a legacy. You want people to remember these last words of yours. What does Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu say? Sayyidina Umar calls the people and says, admonish and warn whoever becomes Khalifa after me about the fair and just treatment of non-Muslims. Tell him that he must fulfill the rights of the non-Muslims and he must protect them and he should fight for their rights and he should not make them work beyond their capacity. This is the Muslim Khilafa Rashida. The rightly guided Khilafa. My brothers and sisters, today we live in a world where someone who has abrogated to himself the title of Khalifa and Amirul Mu'mineen does the opposite. Not only does he wantonly kill non-Muslims, but he encourages others to do the same. And the mindless and ignorant obey him and cause grief to themselves and their families and sully the name of Islam and the Khilafa. This is not Khilafatul Rashida. This is Khilafatul Mudilla. Khilafa of the misguided. He has followers who are equally, if not more, misguided, who believe that killing innocent people is permissible in Islam. They have no religious knowledge and no tarbiyah. Islam is learnt, it is not read. Islam sikha jata hai, padha nahi jata. Just like flying a plane or doing heart surgery is learnt. Just like judo and aikido are learnt, they are not read about. All these are learnt by practice, not by reading about them. To call yourself an Islamic scholar after reading about Islam and having had no tarbiyah with a teacher is as false and as disastrous as would be the results of someone who read a book on flying and then tried to fly a plane. Even if he made a hifz of the entire book, even if he can quote that book sentence by sentence, he is still not a pilot. As I was writing this, came the horrific news of the Taliban attack in Pakistan, in Peshawar, killing children in a school. Every day there is some horrible news that faces us. Horrific actions carried out by people who can only be described as insane. This is the problem today. Young people, wet behind the ears, read a book or two, surf the net, listen to this or that lecture, and they consider themselves to be expert in Islam. They respect elders only as long as they agree with them. But as soon as they disagree, they are rude and insulting. They consider themselves to be the final word in all matters of religion and reject anything that goes against their opinion. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned these things as the signs of al-khawarij, the people who have left Islam. This is the religion of the nafs and the shaitan. This is not the religion of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These are the people who give Islam a bad name. Wake up and smell the coffee. Reject them and all their leaders. They are serious bad news. They are the agents of shaitan. The key to solving this is to break the cycle of violence. We have the best example of this in the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and what he did when Makkah came into his hands. But it takes wisdom and huge sabr to do that. Nelson Mandela showed that when South Africa became independent and saved his country from violence. The laws of nature are created by the creator of nature and they are the same for everyone. They don't change for us because we are Muslims. Forgiveness is the key. Inshallah, more about that in the next khutbah when I will talk about mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about killing innocent people. مِنْ أَجْلِ ذَٰلِكَ كَتَبْنَا عَلَىٰ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ أَنَّهُ مَنْ قَتَلَ نَفْسًا بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ أَوْ فَسَادٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَكَأَنَّمَا قَتَلَ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا وَمَنْ أَحْيَاهَا فَكَأَنَّمَا أَحْيَا النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. In Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah said, because of that we ordained for the children of Israel that if anyone killed a person, not in retaliation for murder or in retaliation for spreading mischief in the land, it would be as if he killed all of mankind. He kills one man or one woman, it is like he killed the entire human race in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And opposite of that, if he saves one life, notice Allah did not say if he saves the life of a Muslim. If he saves any life, if he saves one life, it will be in the eyes of Allah as if he saved the lives of all of mankind. Please notice, Allah did not say if a person kills a Muslim. He said if a person kills another person. Islam does not distinguish in sanctity of life between Muslim and non-Muslim. All life is sacred. Death sentences can be prescribed only by a court of law and carried out by the state after due process. It is not for you and me to sentence people to death or to carry out those death sentences. Murder is murder. Except for self-defense, Islam does not give you the right to kill anybody. Murder is murder, no matter who does it and no matter who is killed. It is haram and punishable in Islamic law and punishable in the court of Allah. That is the whole meaning, my brothers and sisters, of the rule of law, which is to be contrasted against the rule of the individual, which is the essence of feudalism. In the rule of law, nobody is above the law. Rasulullah ﷺ demonstrated that in his own life, though he was the lawgiver who brought the law from the lawmaker. In many cases, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also gave him complete authority to make the law. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us in Surah Al-Hashr, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَحَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and whatsoever the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives you, take it. And whatsoever he stops you from, stop from it. And fear Allah, verily Allah is severe in punishment. There are several other ayahs with similar injunctions. Yet there is no record of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam abrogating to himself and his family special privileges over his followers. On the contrary, he gave others more than he gave his own family. There is a famous story of Sayyida Fatimatu Zahra radiallahu anha, who came to him to ask for a servant from the prisoners of war to help her in her household duties. His favorite daughter. He knows how what kind of poverty she was living in. He knows the difficulty she's having. She comes and says, she actually never asked. She came there and she saw what was the situation and she went away. He came to her and he said, why did you come to see me? She said, I came to see you because I wanted to ask you for a servant because of my hands. See, my hands have been calloused with the amount of housework I do. I need some help. I want a servant from the prisoners of war that you have. He said, oh Fatima, how can I give you when the people of Suffa are hungry? I have to ransom these prisoners and with them I am going to feed the people of Suffa. How can I give you when they are hungry? Who is who? Which father, which daughter? The best father, the best daughter in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu. He says, I cannot give you. And then he taught her that famous tasbih, which we know as tasbih Fatimi. Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar 33, 34 times, followed by the kalima, which we recite as among the Azkar Masnoona after every Fard Salah, and which we recite in the night. And he said, this is better for you than to have a servant, and this will take away the difficulty and hardship from your life. My brothers and sisters, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam never murdered anybody. And he did not order the murder of any innocent person. Today, they do it in his name. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the killing of Muslims by Muslims and by others. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمْ خَالِدًا فِيهَا وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَلَعَنَهُ وَعَدَّ لَهُ عَذَابًا عَظِيمًا. And he said, and whoever kills a believer intentionally, his recompense, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say saza, he said jaza. Sarcastically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called the fire of Jahannam the reward. The fire of Jahannam is a punishment. Allah did not say punishment. He said their reward is the fire of Jahannam. Jaza'uhu Jahannam. He said their reward is Jahannam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and they will stay there forever. And the wrath and curse of Allah is on them. Ghadiballahu alayhi. وَلَعَنَهُ. The wrath of Allah is on them and the curse of Allah is on them. And a great punishment is prepared for them. Who? People who kill Muslims intentionally. What do you say about someone who is cursed by Allah and who is promised the hellfire forever? Is he a Muslim or is he out of Islam? For a Muslim to kill another Muslim is to leave Islam and to enter the hellfire. Ask what the religion of humanitarian worker Abdul Rahman Peter Kasich was. What can be the religion of somebody called Abdul Rahman? Ask what the religion of the Iraqi cameraman Raad al-Azzawi was. Why were they killed? They were not soldiers. They were fighting nobody. But yet they were publicly beheaded. Islam does not even allow prisoners of war, soldiers, to be treated like this. But they did it to non-combatants in the name of Islam. Also with them was another German who had reverted to Islam, who was also murdered. Their Islam didn't save their lives, but it gave them Shahada and it gave their killers Jahannam. Once again, an example of gross injustice, which is inexcusable and haram. Ask what was the religion of those 134, 135 children who were massacred in Peshawar. Ask what is their crime, because on the day of judgment Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call the killer and the one he killed before his throne. And the one who was killed will ask Allah. He will ask Allah. He will say, oh Allah, ask him for what crime he killed me. Which Islam is this? This is not Islam, wallahi. The people who killed those children are murtaddin. They have left Islam. They are in the hellfire. They have the curse and anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on them. I don't care what color of turban they wear. I don't care if their beards are here from their chin to their toes. I don't care how many salah they pray. And it's not my opinion. I'll give you the opinion of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Listen. My brothers and sisters, thanks to the reactions, perhaps justifiable, wallahu alam, against such actions, that it is innocent Muslims who pay the price. Muslim women being attacked in Australia. Muslim women being attacked here and there because they are the only people who bear the symbol of Islam. And of course, we have to salute those people who go against the trend and who stand up to protect these women and who stand up to protect the Muslims. There's that hashtag campaign on Twitter, which is I'll ride with you. And this woman in Australia started this campaign, may Allah bless her and guide her to Islam. Where she said this thing, and she said, we are people, if you want to travel on a public transport in your religious attire, call us and we will come and we will travel with you. And let us see who will touch you. These are Christians who are more Muslim than most Muslims. My brothers and sisters, when Hajjaj bin Yusuf defeated Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu, and he hanged him, he was not content with his evil deed. He called for the mother of Abdullah ibn Zubair, Asma bint Abi Bakr, radiallahu anha, who was in her 90s and almost blind. He called her and he showed her the body of her son hanging from the Kaaba, and he said, see what I did to your son. The daughter of Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu, was no softy. She didn't shed a single tear. And she said, you sent him to Jannah and he sent you to Jahannam. There have been people like this in our history, and our Salaf showed us how to deal with them. A word of advice to the rulers of the world. Justice is the biggest enemy of the ISISs of the world. Injustice gives them recruits. Give justice to the people and take the wind out of their sails. Journalists stick to the truth, not sensational reporting only to sell papers and for TRP ratings. Be fair and just. Don't involve innocent people by association. Don't cast aspersions. Don't use innuendo. Be truthful. Give a voice to those who speak out against these things. That will defeat the recruiters more successfully than any material means. Don't drive people into the arms of these people by your own injustice. I've given you a link in the text of somebody who made a blog of all the Muslim organizations in the world who have constantly condemned these actions, but who were not mentioned in the presses of the world. Take that, spread the word. Even if you have to spend money to advertise it, do that. Tell journalists to publish this news and pay to have it published if you need to. Let us spread good news. There are too many spreading bad. During the reign of Khilafah of Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, I'm talking about justice and those who understood the meaning of justice. During the Khilafah of Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, he lost his shield in a battle and he was told that a Jewish man had taken it. Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib called the man and asked him to return the shield. The Jewish man refused and insisted that the shield belonged to him and not to Sayyidina Ali. Sayyidina Ali was the ruler. He was the Khalifa. He was the commander-in-chief of the army. He could have simply taken the shield if he wanted to. Nobody would have objected. They knew it was his shield. But he did not do that. What did he do? He took the matter to the court before Qadi Shuraih. Qadi Shuraih was one of the most famous judges. Now see what happens there. The two people, the complainant, the plaintiff and the complainant, they're both in the court. Qadi Shuraih says to Ali bin Abi Talib, who is a friend of his, who is the Khalifa, he says, state your case, Ya Abul Hasan. He is referring to him by his kunya, which in the Arab culture is a way of showing respect and a way of showing love and affection for the person you are speaking to. So he said, state your case, ya Abul Hasan. What does Sayyidina Ali do? Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu says, do not call me Abul Hasan. Call me Ali. Before you, I and this man are equal. Because you are not going to call him by his kunya, you are calling me by my kunya because of our relationship. He said, in this court, we have no relationship. This man and I are equal. He's teaching the judge a lesson. Now, both of them presented their case. The judge said to Sayyidina Ali, well, you are the accuser, so the onus of proof is on you, so produce your witnesses. So Sayyidina Ali called his son Al-Hasan Ibn Ali radiallahu anhu, and he called his servant, and he called them two as his witness. Qadi Shuraykh said, sorry, can't accept these witnesses. One is your son, the other one is in your pay. Rejected. Find me an independent witness. Sayyidina Ali said, I have nobody. I have only these two witnesses. So the judge said, sorry, then you have no case. Have you no case? He asked the man, the Jewish man, he said, do you have a witness? He said, I have no witness, but I am prepared to swear, take an oath on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran. He said, I'm willing to take an oath on Allah that this thing belongs to me. Qadi Shuraykh told him, take the oath. He took the oath. He said, take the shield, go home. The man came out of the court. He couldn't believe his ears that he actually won the case. He came out of the court and he said to Sayyidina Ali, this is your religion? He said, is this your religion? Sayyidina Ali said, yes. He said, tell me, is this your religion that you are the Khalifa and the judge rules against you? Based on my testimony, I am not even a Muslim. I am not even a Muslim. And remember, this is happening in Medina. How many Jewish people were there in Medina? What kind of a minority was that? He said, yet your judge in your court rules against you? Sayyidina Ali said, yes. The man said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. He said, if this is your religion, then I am a Muslim. And then he says to Sayyidina Ali, he said, your shield fell off your camel. He said, I did not know whose shield it was. I was not stealing. I just picked it up. You said it was yours. It is your word against mine. So I was not stealing. When I made the oath, I was not lying. But now I know it's your shield. Take it back. Sayyidina Ali said, that shield is my gift to you because you are now my brother. My brothers and sisters, the man became Muslim not because he listened to a khutbah on Islam. He became Muslim because he saw the akhlaq and he saw the adl of Islam. He became Muslim not because of what Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib said. He became Muslim because of what Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib did. People do not care what you say until they see what you do. So how do these people who are a curse upon this ummah justify not just killing innocent people but publicly beheading them on camera? Barbarism unparalleled. Talking about these people, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith in Bukhari which is reported by Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu, he said a man came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at Jarana on his way back from Hunain, and Bilal radiallahu anhu had some silver, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam took a handful of it and bestowed it upon the people. The man came to him and said, ya Muhammad Adil. He said, oh Muhammad, do justice. This is a Muslim speaking to the Nabi. He said, oh Muhammad, do justice. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, woe to you. Who will do justice if I do not do justice? And he said, you would be very unfortunate if I did not do justice. Upon this, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu said, ya Rasulullah, permit me to take off his head. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no. May Allah protect us. People will say that I kill my companions. He said, this man is not alone. He said, he and his companions will recite the Quran, but it will not go beyond their throat. And they will enter Islam and they will leave Islam like an arrow leaves the target. And there will be no sign of blood on the head of the arrow or the binding of the arrow or the tail feathers of the arrow. And he said, these people will recite Quran better than you. And he said, their salah will be better than yours. He said, as a matter of fact, what the hadith said, they will recite Quran and you will consider your recitation to be less than theirs. And he said, they will pray and you will consider your salah to be inferior to theirs. And then he said this, he said, but Islam enters them and leaves them without a trace. Their recitation does not go below their throat. Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu said, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, there would arise at the end of the age a people who would be young in age and immature in thought, but they would talk in such a manner as if their words are the best among creatures. They would recite the Quran, but it would not go beyond their throats. And they would pass through the deen as an arrow goes through the prey. And that's in Sahih Muslim. Today these people have been giving instructions to others to say, do not listen to your ulama. Do not listen to the scholars. Listen only to us. Final word. People wet behind the ears. No tarbiyah from anywhere. They interpret the deen on their own and they consider themselves to be the last word. One of the signs, listen carefully, one of the signs of these people that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam described is that their hearts will be as if they are made of iron. No mercy. Now what is clearer than that? Ali bin Abi Talib again, as the narrator narrated from Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, when you see the black flags, remain where you are and do not move your hands or your feet. Thereafter there will appear a feeble, insignificant folk. Their hearts will be like fragments of iron, no mercy. They will have the state. They will fulfill neither covenant nor agreement. They will call to the truth, but they will not be people of the truth. Their names will be parental attributions. Abu Bakr Baghdadi. Which nomenclature is this? The Arabs are known by their parentage. Muhammad Makki. Did you hear this anytime? Muhammad Madani. After Hijra. Did you hear this? Muhammad bin Abdullah bin Abdul Muttalib. This is Arab nomenclature. Father's name with the father's name, with the grandfather's name and the tribe. Not known by some city or by some town or by some village. Which Baghdadi? What Baghdadi? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said their names will be parental attributions and their aliases will be derived from towns. Their hair will be long. He said like women. The situation will remain until they differ among themselves. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring forth the truth through whomever He wills. My brothers and sisters, Allah is witness. We can see their lack of mercy in their actions more clearly than anything else. The Sahaba were agreed upon the opinion that these people were what they called Al-Khawarij, those who have done khuruj out of Islam. Though they would outwardly show all signs of Islam and practice the religion with great strictness and great shiddat. My brothers and sisters, Islam stands for justice and the rule of law, not for injustice and oppression and the rule of despots. Islam rejects all calls of violence for killing of innocents. Reject these calls and reject all those who preach these haram teachings. Islam does not allow you to kill non-Muslims, no matter who they are. Islam does not allow you to kill innocent people. Islam does not even allow you to kill a soldier in battle if the soldier surrenders. So forget about killing somebody who is not even a soldier. Islam does not allow you to desecrate graves. Islam tells us not to worship graves. But if there is a grave, Islam does not allow you to bomb that grave and to desecrate that grave. Islam does not allow us to do any of the haram actions that these people are doing in the name of Islam. Their saying they are doing it in the name of Islam means absolutely nothing. I advise all of you and advise all those who will ever listen to this khutbah, open your eyes. Don't just go by what people say and don't say they are Muslims. They are not Muslims. If child killers are Muslim, then I am not a Muslim. That is my declaration here. If child killers are Muslim, then I am not a Muslim. If child killers are Muslims, how many of you want to remain Muslims? Tell me. This is not Islam. This is irtidad. This is leaving Islam. This is kufr. This is going against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. To speak out against these people, this is Islam. Are you with me or not?
Yes.
My brothers and sisters, remember, reject these things. And if you don't, you will stand alone before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. And you will follow those who you chose to follow in this world into the fire, because that is where they will go. And that is where those who follow them will go. I don't know if I can be clearer than this. Justice is the first gift of Islam. Islam begins with justice in worshipping the only one worthy of worship, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. And it extends to justice to his creatures, seeking only his pleasure and fearing only his anger if injustice is done. Always stand for justice. This is my wasiyat to you. Always stand for justice. Do not be afraid to open your mouth and talk against injustice, no matter who is doing it. Because it is better for you to suffer whatever comes in this world by speaking against injustice than to suffer the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, when you will stand before him and he will ask, why is it that you kept silent when this was happening? Allah will not ask us what happened. Allah will ask us, what did you do? My brothers and sisters, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to do that which is pleasing to him, and to save us from all of this fitan, and to save all those people who are afflicted, and to have mercy on them, and to give victory to the truthful, and to defeat and destroy these people who are sullying the name of Islam.